From the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s through the Vietnam War, Martha Gellhorn covered the major conflicts of her day. Journalist, novelist, impassioned liberal, and glamorous friend of the famous, Gellhorn was also the third wife of Ernest Hemingway. 5 years after her death, a biography of Martha Gellhorn has been published. NPR's special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports.
Martha Gellhorn was blonde, leggy, smart, sassy, impassioned, and one terrific writer. She had major moxie. When she couldn't get accredited to cover D-Day, Gellhorn stowed away on a hospital ship heading toward the Normandy beaches. Biographer Caroline Moorhead says Martha Gellhorn remained undaunted for most of her 90 years.
I think she was fearless, but I think she knew what it was like to be frightened. She revered courage, and this, I think, partly came from her close relationship to her mother, who was a remarkable woman, and who, I think, brought up her only daughter to feel that that was what you did in life. You behaved well, and you got on with things, and you didn't complain, and you didn't allow yourself self-indulgence.
Mm-hmm. Her writing was quite extraordinary, and I've lifted just one little sample from your biography, but quoting her writing about the Spanish Civil War, she writes, "You could pass a high pile of rubbish and smell suddenly the sharp, rotting smell of the dead. Further on would be a half-decayed carcass of a mule with flies thick on it, and then a sewing machine by itself blown out into the street. It was sunny and quiet, and the whole place was infinitely dead." In a way, that's typical Gellhorn writing, isn't it?
I think it is. I think that's a very good example. I think that was her particular contribution as a war correspondent. She didn't write about battles, and she didn't know about military tactics. What she was really interested in was describing what war does to civilians, does to ordinary people.
There was a fury and a rage at the injustice and suffering that she saw being inflicted upon, especially the poorest people.
That rage and anger, I think, sustained her all her life. I think she developed it first in the Depression in America. She wrote these four long short stories, which make a sort of novel about the Depression called The Trouble I've Seen. And it was published before she was 30. And it is a very assured and remarkable bit of writing. But that particular anger that you hear in that book, you heard when she was in her late 80s, when she was writing about the street children in Brazil.
Talk about why she went to war, or why she went to one truly dreadful situation after another. Did she feel it was her duty to bear witness?
I think she felt all she really could do was write. It was all she knew how to do. And she was still feeling that in her 80s, and since nobody else seemed to be writing to her about the children and napalm in Vietnam, then even though she was getting on and she wasn't accredited to a newspaper, well, then she'd go and write about it.
She paid her own way to Vietnam so that she could go and tell the rest of us what it was like there. We need to talk about Hemingway, and Martha Gellhorn would be extremely happy that we've waited this long in order to do it, because she hated that notion of being known, of having the lead be. She was Ernest Hemingway's third wife.
Quite right.
They connected up in Spain during the Spanish Civil War. She married him in 1940. They got divorced in 45. Altogether, though, they were 8 years in a relationship. It ended in large part because she was never around.
Yes, I think there are several great myths about that relationship. One of the myths, of course, is that it was unhappy from the very beginning and was never a success. No, I think that's absolutely wrong. I think from the letters it is absolutely clear that for a while they really loved each other. The other myth, I think, is that Hemingway was the monster and Martha was the faithful and loving wife. I don't think that she was that for a moment. I think she got fed up with him. She got fed up with his drinking. And she was terribly impatient to get back to the war. Mm-hmm. And she felt sitting in Cuba doing nothing about the war was not tolerable. And I think that's really why they drifted apart.
There were lots and lots of men in her life. But she had a problem with relationships throughout that long life. She just couldn't stick around very long. And I wonder if it didn't have so much to do with a personality, a woman who could say, "I wish to be hell on wheels or dead."
I think that's right. She hugely envied and admired the relationship between her parents, which was a very happy marriage, And she would always look at this as the model of something she would have loved to have had. And I think she really genuinely regretted she didn't have it. She did love people and get caught up with people, but she grew restless and moved away. And I think all her life she would regret not having found somebody to be with and stay with.
You've done a long book about her because she lived a long life, but I must say, Caroline Moorhead, that by the time Martha Gellhorn reaches 41, I found her becoming very tiresome to read about. Her letters to her friends were full of complaints. She was unhappy. She was whiny. Those glory days were over, and here she lives to be 90 years old.
Yes, that's right. I hope that towards the end of the book, you find that in a way her overcoming the bad things puts her back on track again as somebody who was tough on herself and robust.
Well, she went out, made a lot of new friends, younger people, surrounded herself with them and called them her chaps and asked them to go out and see the world. She couldn't do it anymore and come back and tell her about it.
She did. It was a wonderful thing in her life. When she was about 70, she was, as she put it, rediscovered by a group of young reporters and journalists and publishers. Many of those became extremely close friends, replacing some of the friends who had died and who she had lost earlier. And I think her last 30 years were sort of pulled together by that. I think she had many good and happy times, but she was lonely. She didn't really want to be alone.
Thank you very much, Caroline Moorhead. Her biography, Gellhorn, is subtitled A 20th Century Life. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Photographs of Martha Gellhorn, including one of her hunting with Ernest Hemingway, are at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.